I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Show Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on a Tuesday, a day after an apology Monday in Eagles land. We got a lot to get to here. 1 hour from now, we'll carry it live. The Dave Dombrowski, Rob Thompson press conferences as the Phillies say goodbye for 2024. Can't wait to hear what those guys say about the end of the season and what change they'll make. We'll carry that for you live at 11. Ross Tucker later on the show, and we will bring to you the Sirianni conversation with Joe and John from earlier this morning. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Hey, you know what? It's okay to take a break from social media every now and then. You know, you don't have to be on there every day.
I agree. Yeah. A little mental health break for you?
Yeah, a little mental health. Sometimes, man, because, like, I only tweet now for the most part when I'm being petty or on Sundays. Mm. Like, every now and then, I sent out a petty little tweet this morning with somebody. But on Sunday, and I'll talk a little bit about football. But, you know, hey, if you want to hear me speak, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to tune in from 10 to 2.
Well, that's true. And we do it from 10 to 2 every day. 215-592-9494. All right, yesterday, that was one of the most anticipated day after game press conferences for a coach I can remember in a long time around here, because I couldn't wait to see what would Nick Sirianni say. Because yesterday the temperature of the town was, you got to be kidding me, unacceptable behavior on Sirianni's part on Sunday. Well, yesterday he did what I thought was going to be best for him and the Eagles, which was an apology. Here's Sirianni yesterday apologizing to the fan base for what he did on Sunday.
Have you heard from Jeffrey Lurie at all about what happened yesterday and what was his feedback?
Mr. Lurie and I talk every time after the game. Every time, I haven't talked to him yet today. I know how supportive Mr. Lurie has been through everything. I would say this about that. You know, what I was really doing, I was trying to bring energy yesterday, energy, enthusiasm yesterday. And I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time.
Well, I agree it wasn't. He needs to have the better wisdom, better discernment. I was happy to hear that. And I could now, I'll accept the apology from Nick Sirianni. And I don't have to harp on Sunday anymore. But Hugh, what's really interesting is something I keep hearing and I keep thinking about after our show yesterday, something you kept harping on about Nick Sirianni and his players.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more players that talk, and we'll bring a lot of audio today from guys that spoke both on Sunday, but even yesterday, right? Whether it be on WIP or podcasts, a lot of players spoke the last 24, 30, 36 hours or so
mm-hmm.
about Sirianni. And what I've heard is a lot of support for him, Hugh. Mm-hmm. A lot of support in terms of players saying, hey, be you, Nick. Hugh, I'm going to ask you this way. If the players are okay with Nick Sirianni, are you? Should we be okay as fans with this? If the players, and right now it seems like, just based on what they've said, it does seem like they're okay with this.
Joe, I'm going to say it like this, and I'm not avoiding what you're asking me, but I got to give you a little context behind
this. Go for it.
I remember one time I was talking to my cousin, and I was trying to tell her about locker room conversations that were being had. And it was a kind of a pointed conversation, and I was explaining it to her, and she started talking to me about, well, they can't do that. That's an HR violation and all this other stuff. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. And for the life of me, I could not explain to her in a way where she understood how this behavior could go on. So with that being said, Joe, you're not supposed to get it. It's not for you to consume. You can feel the way that you feel about what this team is doing, how they're choosing to motivate themselves, and all this other stuff. They've let you know on more than one occasion when they say, we don't care about nothing but anybody, but what the people in that building think. That's all that matters. That's that bunker mentality that I was telling you about yesterday. There's a lot that in the next couple of weeks that might happen that we're not going to understand. And as a former player and now as an analyst and a fan of the team, it's okay for you not to get it. It's okay for you to feel some kind of way when you hear it. But when I get on these airwaves and Ike gets on these airwaves and John Ritchie tries to get on these airwaves, well, he gets on these airwaves and talks about it, try to understand what he's trying to say, because it might get weird in the next couple of weeks.
So I respect that, and look, there's certain things that you and Ike and John that you understand that most of us can't understand, right? We all could watch the game, and mm-hmm. we could debate on whether Jalen Hurts is great or good, right? We could just, as fans, we could do that. That the stuff in the locker room, most people listening do not understand.
No.
Now maybe we understand on a small level, like I played in high school, but that's a very small level,
yeah.
Obviously. Here's where I'm at on this. I am willing to accept Nick Sirianni if he wants to act a certain way in front of his team, in mm-hmm. the locker room. The way he wants to motivate them is his own thing. And if they're okay with that, I will be okay. Like, I don't love when he's bobbing his head up and down to the camera. Mm-hmm. And I don't love the stuff in Kansas City last year or Indianapolis the year before. But maybe that works for him. Here's where I draw the line. And even though we're going to play some cuts from players here in a second, what they said. He just can't go after Eagles fans. He can't belittle Eagles fans. That's where I draw the line. That's where I'm not okay with it. I need him to be more composed.
Composed, yes.
Like I get it. And they seem to want him to be more of himself. And maybe that's going to work for them, and they're going to go on a run, and we're all going to be happy in 2 months that they're definitely a playoff team. We'll see. There has to be, and he even said it yesterday, there's got to be like a line. You got to know where that line is. The reason yesterday bothered me so much, I just felt like he went over the line. Like, it went from cute and like, he's kind of goofy.
It was over the top.
It was over the top.
And that's why, you know, people got confused. As, oh, you're protecting me. No, I'm not protecting him. I'm trying to understand, why would you do that? Because everybody knows there's not a person on this planet that talked about this, was okay with the way that Coach Sirianni acted. But at the same time, my question was, why is he doing this? Why did he pick that moment? Because we all know that's not a fight you can win.
Mm-mm.
Like I said, I've been on social media, and I've had Twitter beefs and stuff like that, so much so that our boss, Rod Legan, will have to text me sometimes and say, hey, Hugh, let it go. Let it go. So I get it. I understand it. You're not going to win that. And that's why I was more like, okay, why is he doing this? What's going on? Why did he cut his hair? Stuff like that. It felt to me like it was a little bit calculated in how he that was his way, I'm assuming, getting back to who he is at the core.
I think you're right on that. And to go back to your original analogy, 215-592-9494, for locker room talk, right? It's hard to explain locker room talk. But here's what you can't do. You can't take locker room talk to the office.
No.
You can't take locker room talk home.
No.
And you can't bring locker room talk to the fans. And what I mean by that is, let's say, and you said this yesterday, let's say the Eagles have developed this us against the world mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Then say it in the locker room. Say it privately. Say it when the cameras are off. If Nick Sirianni wants to say, bleep all them who don't believe in us, right? All them that booed, that want me fired, that want you cut, that say Jalen's not that good. And he could be talking about me. He could talk about our listeners. Like, if he wants to say that to them privately, and they rally around that, okay. Like, that's, I get it. That's the, you know, you got to rally the troops sometimes. You can't do it to the fans. You can't belittle fans that support you during the good. And you can't do it to the paying customers. It was, and I'm glad he apologized. Thought he had to. Now everyone could try to move on. But I am curious today, are you okay with the Sirianni behavior if the players are? 215-592-9494. Let's hear from some of those players. Brandon Graham this morning on the morning show. Brandon spoke up multiple times, and he has a lot over the years, about Nick Sirianni. Here's BG this morning with the morning show about Nick Sirianni.
Well, I just, like you said, you got to find a balance, of course, because, I mean, you know, as you know, he got emotion, and he want to show it. And at the end of the day, you know, I don't want him to be nobody other than himself, and I don't want him to look like anybody else that came before him, because he going to make his own stamp. But I just know that for him, he has a job. He's the head of this team, and, you know, your boss wants you to be like this, you know, so you got to find your balance, like you said. And so I know he's grown since those days of 2022, but it was kind of me and Jalen talking like, hey, Coach, be you. You know what I'm saying? Be you. We need 2022 you. It's just that emotion is what I'm saying. But the balance has to come, because you do have others looking at you, and, you know, as the head guy. And if it's cool with you doing it, I mean, I know, like people talk about Jalen Carter, that came up on me last night. And it's like, yeah, you got to show him that way, but you got to find that balance. But I know I just want him to be him.
Well, I admire that. And they could want him to be him, but I need him to be a leader. I need him to be a head coach. I need him to show the players the way. The Carter thing is a great example. A couple weeks ago, Carter's flipping out on the sidelines, and Sirianni's trying to calm him down. It falls on deaf ears if the leader can't be calm. 215-592-9494. A lot of players defending Sirianni. Want him to be him. If the players are okay with Sirianni's behavior, are you? I'm not. I mean, because he has to have a level of decorum. He understands it from that perspective. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get some phone calls up here. We'll get Kyle's thought. And then we need to let you hear from Donovan McNabb, because he weighed in with the afternoon show yesterday. Really interesting. Kyle, where are you at this morning? We've had a day of players weighing in on this, from Landon Dickerson to Brandon Graham to Donovan we'll get to in a second, an ex-player. Jalen, if the players are okay with Sirianni, are you?
A lot of times, I don't know that these players know what's good for them. And to me, honestly, this whole thing reeks of, like, contrived desperation trying to recapture what this team had in 2022 by saying, like, oh, you know, maybe it's Nick's being more emotional on the sideline. Maybe it's Jalen's leadership or smiling in the end zone. Like, all this stuff just reeks of desperation. How about you go out there and just play better football? And that way the coach doesn't have to make himself the story after they eke by an awful Browns team. Like, they just go out there and kill somebody, like murder a team by 15 points. And then all the stories we're talking about, how great A.J. Brown was, and Saquon Barkley, and Jalen. But no, it's always got to be this nonsense. And they just feel desperate. Like, they're like, what was it that made us so good in 2022? And they just have no clue.
It does reek of desperation.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, like, I don't, all this stuff is, oh, we want Nick to be Nick. I don't care. Who Nick is apparently a clown. And that's not what's helping this football team win games. So, no, I don't care if the players like it.
Yeah, and I think there is a point towards the players might not know what they need. I mean, they just look there. I think there is a grasping at straws to try to recapture 2 years ago. And unfortunately, the further we get from that, the further we get. I mean, it's a long time ago now. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the phones here, and then we'll let you hear what Donovan said yesterday to the afternoon show. If the players are okay with Sirianni's behavior, are you? I'm not. Kyle's not. Hugh is. Chris at Cherry Hill. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, hey, Chris. What's up, man?
Man, Nick Sirianni, he's a clown, and I'm watching Get Up, I'm watching First Take, and all these commentators, they're calling him bird brain. You don't do that. I'm watching this game. I was there with my son. This defense, I mean, we can't stop nobody. I mean, you're playing the Browns, third and longs, and then you got a guy going over to the sideline, and, you know, we're there to support you, support your team. We're paying these outrageous ticket prices to go there, and then you want to act like that? And then, you know, you didn't learn your lesson from, you know, when you were in at the Chiefs game. And then you bring your daughter up at the press conference. Why? Because he knew that the media was going to unload on him, and he didn't want to hear it.
Well, he used them as a shield. I mean, that's what it was, Chris. I know this morning he answered that question to Cameron Ritchie about that, and he said he just, you know, he wants his kids to experience it. But Chris, that was a shield. He didn't want to get asked the hard questions.
It definitely was.
He got the shield.
We need the crowd, the guy that he was talking to call in and say exactly what he was saying, because he can't be man enough to say it. You did it. You said it. And the players, Jason Kelce, I'm disappointed in him. How are you going to say that he's the best coach? He does this in the locker room with the numbers. This is going to implode again. They're winning, but they're not good wins. And when's it going to implode? What's his role on this team? Like, I just Sirianni's got to go. I mean, how much longer? What's the difference between him and Robert Saleh?
He has a job and Robert Saleh doesn't.
I guess for now. Yeah, for now.
I don't know.
Chris, I get you, man. Listen, it's a frustrating thing, Chris. Good phone call there. By the way, speaking of Saleh's name just came up, sounds like Davante Adams is going to go to the Jets here.
The Jets.
Speaking of in desperation mode, I mean, the Jets are. Rodgers throwing his receivers under the bus last night.
I was about to say.
Desperation.
Isn't it weird how Rodgers threw his receiver under the bus last night?
Yep.
And they go get Davante Adams this morning.
It's a desperate team. The Friar coach is traded for 32-year-old receivers.
Dude, he's a bad dude, man.
Rodgers? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
He's also
man.
Cooked. He's not the same player he used to be. Oh, let's go to Rob at Delco. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, boy? There you go.
Hey, Rob. What's up, buddy?
Listen. I love you, Hugh, but I'm just coming from – I know you're trying to give us an insight on the locker room, but coming from a fan's perspective – I have a couple calls earlier on the morning show, guys, and I'm just going to regurgitate what these people were saying. What have we been talking about really since last year and the first, you know, five games this year? Not much about the Eagles. We're talking about the head coach, Joe, aren't we?
Yeah, he's become a distraction, Rob. And the head coach should never be a distraction.
No, and Hugh, Hugh, I know you're going to hear this all day, and I appreciate you trying to give it to the other side, but this is just how I feel, Hugh. You know what I mean? Like, to me, what does he add to this team? We come out unprepared each week. Okay, we talked about all of season. What is Sirianni's job? What is Sirianni's role as CEO? What is he going to be doing? What does he add to this team except bringing his kids seem like beautiful, healthy kids? God bless them. That's great. I don't want to see him at the post-game press conference. And he talked about on the morning show, he didn't deny he might do it again. I mean, does this guy not read the room? Does he not read the media? Does he not read the fans? I'm worried about him reading the team. And what guys support him? You know what? I'm ready to get rid of them too, Joe. These guys that support him, they're just as bad as him. Is the quarterback supporting him?
Yes.
Or is he just giving his lip service, Hugh?
No, he's supporting.
Well, that's a fair question, because at times it seemed like, Rob, and it's a good phone call, at times it seemed like the quarterback hasn't supported him. Now he's been a little more supportive this week. Can we hear Donovan McNabb yesterday? Donovan on with the afternoon show yesterday, kind of relaying what he knows about Jalen and his support of Nick. And just listen through this Donovan cut yesterday with afternoons about Sirianni and the whole thing.
It's so funny how we tried to break down everything that Jalen says. Mm-hmm. And when we went on the Super Bowl run, everybody was loving the cliches and loving the kind of terms that he was using. All of a sudden, things go kind of sour a little bit, and all of a sudden, we're nitpicking what he's saying, and then we're looking at the relationship.
Where's Donovan? Look,
I know from personally talking to Jalen that he supports Nick. Now, obviously, are they on different pages maybe at times? Yeah, but that's kind of what happens in professional rank. So I just think for the Philadelphia Eagles in this situation, the best thing that they can do as a team is to support Nick. Even if half of them don't support Nick, but to support Nick and be able to come together better as a football team. Because in regards of this situation, luckily it's taking the heat off of the kind of deficiencies of this football team. And maybe this will help them come closer together and individually be able to elevate their game to be able to get back on track of where they need to be.
Well, that was a lot of interesting stuff from Donovan, especially the end there talking about how it's kind of covered up all the other nonsense going on. The team's not played very well this season.
Mm-hmm.
But we've, at least this week,
this has become the issue.
Yes, this has become the main story. Sirianni's behavior and his seeming need to interject himself in the game every single week.
Yeah, crazy like a fox, man. And that's why, you know what's funny? When we talk about this team, and one of the conversations that was a glaring issue a week ago was the fact that Jalen was turning the ball over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not trying to trigger anybody, but he didn't have any turnovers.
Zero. Is that because the coach was in the crowd?
No. What I'm saying is the tough thing for us to do right now is look at the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to win the football game. We did. And we all knew going into it that it probably was going to be an ugly win. But it's a win nonetheless. And that's the most important thing. It's unfortunate that with so much stuff that happened after the game, you're not talking about the actual progression of this offense.
Well, they only scored 20 points.
No, and Joe, and I'm not arguing that. And I'm not trying to trigger anybody with that saying that, but it's a fact. It's a fact that they won the football game and they had no turnovers. In the NFL, the one thing as a former player that you always try to do, you're always striving to get better, number one. But you always look at the positives. Like, you're always trying to get better, but you'll say, okay, damn, we only scored 20 points on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
But we didn't turn the ball over.
Aren't we talking about that? Because the coach.
Because right now, and Coach Sirianni said this, we are not living up to the expectations. This is a work in progress. We live in a microwave society, man. We live in a society where we want things the way we want them right now.
Well, yes, but I think people have been patient enough with this team.
No, and I'm not. That's not the argument that I'm. That's not the hill that I'm choosing to die on. What I'm trying to do right now for my partner is to take you inside the mindset of how they might be thinking.
I get it,
and I see it's thoroughly irritating.
I'm fine with if he wants to be Mr. Us Against the World behind closed doors. Go for it. Knock yourself out. But like, don't challenge the fans that have supported. I would call it mediocre play for a whole year now.
I get it.
Don't dare, Steve.
And you have to know where you are. You have to know what city you're playing. It's Philadelphia. Philly.
Steve in Laurel Springs. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, listen. Hey, how are you, Joe?
Good, Steve. What do you think?
I like what Hugh's saying, and I was, you know, I was going back and forth with Kyle a little bit because I'm tired of hearing the Sirianni thing. I just think. Take the camera off him. You don't even see that. Now let's talk about the game, you know. It's easy to say what you would do, but when you got somebody chirping in your ear the whole game, now you win the game, you're excited, you're passionate, so you say a few things that just happened to get caught on the camera, and now that's all we're talking about.
But, Steve,
we're
hold on. But, Steve,
you,
but you're
they
letting
played
it,
a good game.
No, but, you, they didn't play a good game. They played a very average game.
They won. I mean, they won a game.
But,
they
Steve,
won a
but
game.
You say take the camera off him. Steve, if he doesn't act like that, the camera's not on him.
Listen, the camera just happened to catch him doing that. But that, why is that the big talk?
Hold on, Steve. That's like saying, well, the camera just happened to catch someone shoplifting. Maybe if the camera wasn't on him, we wouldn't talk about him robbing the store. Don't rob the store.
No, Steve,
the action was caught on camera. You're excusing it. You're blaming the camera. Fox is trying
but
to tell.
How come we're not talking about the better game that Hurts had this week?
Because the head coach decided to act like a clown. If he doesn't act like that, we are.
There's been an agenda for him, and I'm so tired of hearing about it, man. The guy's got a winning record. You listen to Kelce, you listen to Cox, you listen to these guys that play for him, and they all like the guy. You listen to Hugh, who played football and understands more than any of us calling in. That what goes on in that locker room, we don't know.
Steve, it falls on deaf ears for me. They've been outscored since the beginning of last season. If they loved him that much, they'd play better. Like, great, they love him. What do you mean? Like, if they love him so much, why don't they play better?
I don't know that. I don't know if that has anything to do with loving him versus the X's and O's and the skill set.
Well, that's fair. Steve, that's fair. That's fair. And Steve, appreciate the phone call. I don't care if they love him. They gotta play better under him. That's what I care about. And the part that, like, don't do the blame the media thing. The media is going to go to the story. He made himself the story. I didn't make Nick Sirianni the story.
Nope.
I'm like, seriously, if he didn't do that on Sunday, we come in here Monday and we have a discussion, not just our show, the whole station, about how good the team is.
The whole planet.
Right? Was that a good win? Are we satisfied? Should they have won by more? Jalen's no turnovers. How great AJ is. Cooper DeJean. I'm telling you, I know how this works. I know what the whole station would have talked about for a day. Was that satisfying? Are we heading in the right direction? No one wanted to do 24 hours on Nick Sirianni. Like, he did that. Like, don't make it about the Fox cameras. They saw something interesting, and they put it on broadcast television. That's on him. 215-592-9494. We'll get to your phone calls on this coming up. Dombrowski and Rob Thompson speak at 11. We will carry that. And when we on the other side here, Kelce talked about Nick Sirianni on Monday Night Football, and you got to hear this hilarious take.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On It by Chris Canty. All coming up, Midday Show, Sports Radio.
Man, his player's trying to get his ass fired. Wow. Man, that is the only... Nick, we want you to be yourself. We want you to act the donkey on the sideline. We want you to be chirping at the fans. They trying to get him fired, Smalls.
You think so?
Somebody is trying to call a code red. They're like, you know what? Let's huddle up. If we tell him to be himself, maybe he'll actually go out and do it, and that would give Jeffrey Lurie and GM Howie Roseman just enough ammunition to fire his ass.
Chestnut checkers. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh
Chris
Douglas.
Can't stand that guy.
Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. A little comic relief as the Sirianni thing continues. Look, he apologized yesterday. We could all move on from what happened. The reality is, though, the players continue to endorse this. And if the players are okay with it, Are you okay with it? I'm not. I just don't think it's a good look for a head coach. I don't think it's a good look for the organization. And I struggle to see how he can lead them through tough moments if he can't compose himself in tough moments. A couple weeks ago, we had a moment in New Orleans where Jalen Carter was pretty heated on the sideline. And you go watch the video of it, there's Sirianni trying to calm him down. Like, the next time this happens, and it will, it's an emotional game. Whether it be AJ or it be, you know, Jalen Carter, whoever. There's, you know, we know the players here that have play with a lot of emotion. That's great. But, like, at some point, someone's going to have to calm them down. Is it going to be Nick Sirianni? Because if it is, I'm not listening if I'm that guy. Like, wait a second. You're yelling at fans. Why can't I yell at the opposing player or whatever? So that's the false.
Accountability, man.
It is accountability. Now, Hugh, but the reality is players seem like they are endorsing this, whether or not it's a defense mechanism or it's a code red, according to Chris Candy. Hugh, it does feel like the current players are all saying, yeah, we got your back, Nick. Be you.
Yeah, it's
and you're okay with this nonsense.
I don't think that's the case. Listen, there's two reasons why I don't pay no attention to what Chris Candy's saying. He's a friend of mine. He's also a Kappa, so he got that going against him. But he was a Dallas Cowboy as well. So, but it's one of those things. Initially, that's what you think. But when I read the room and I get a chance to talk to some of these guys and I see their demeanor, it's almost like this. If you know. If you're a friend with somebody and you know that they're in a situation, or say, bad analogy time.
Uh-oh.
You're in a street fight. You're getting ready. Like, you're at a bar somewhere and he's had one too many to drink. And this is your friend now. And you're trying to keep him out of trouble. But say if he starts a fight in the bar. You're going to fight with, even though you know he's wrong, you're still going to fight with him because that's your friend. And even when you're wrong, you're still right. And that's kind of how I feel this situation is. This is not something where I'm telling you that everybody agrees with how Coach Sirianni is acting. But he's the head coach. And you're going to roll with him until the wheels fall off. You're going to roll with him until however this thing plays out.
Yeah, those wheels might be falling off right now.
It might be, or might ride these things all the way to the Super Bowl.
Are you doing it again?
Yeah, I am. I'm not bailing on this team, and I did the math yesterday. We got 12 games, man. We got 12 games. Well, I remember back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s, 12 games was enough to get you to the Super Bowl.
You don't remember the 50s and 60s.
No, I don't. I just made that up, but you didn't have to bring that to the attention of the folks that was listening. It was a great story.
Well, like, to go off your analogy, Hugh, you said right or wrong, like, you know, you're riding with them no matter what.
No matter what.
But at the end of the day, if you both get your ass kicked, yeah, that's not good.
If we go down, we go down together.
No, but we don't want to go down.
No, but it's
that. We want to win.
You're missing the point that I was trying to make. That's your family. That's your family.
Yeah, but then you and your family are going to get beat up. Like,
and sometimes ass whoopings happen.
No, but we don't want the ass whoopings.
We don't want it, but sometimes the ass whoopings can't be.
You know what happens sometimes? Sometimes you have people that you're around, and you kind of just laugh off and justify their behavior because they're your guy. But doesn't mean you really deep down like it. I mean, the players could say all they want. They'll show me how much they respond to this guy's coaching and leadership by how they play. Mm-hmm. And the reality is they haven't scored a point in the first quarter of the entire season. Like, this, when they were blowing teams out in 2022, I bit my tongue on this because it was working. Mm-hmm. Whatever they were doing that year worked. And I didn't spend a lot of time because, one, we were all happy. And two, they were winning almost every game. I didn't spend a lot of time on, yeah, I don't love that look of the coach, you know, hogging camera time and running up down the sideline and screaming at refs, I know what I'm bleeping doing. Because they were winning.
Yeah.
But they're not winning.
So the
players' feeling on him doesn't really matter to me unless they're winning big. And over the last year, they've been outscored.
That's the thing. They were winning when he was doing that.
And they're not now.
Yeah, but they're trying to get back to that.
But they could try all they want. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
This is why, to me, this week, This game against the Giants is going to be, it's going to be something.
Oh, I can tell
this
you what
is
going to
be an anticipated. This is going to be a highly anticipated matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be 20-17 in the fourth quarter.
And if they get a win, that's all that matters. You know what's funny? I went back and I looked at the year that I played. We were 1-15 with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
We got blew out a lot.
Well, because you were bad.
Yeah, but there were some games where we were in there. We were in the game, and we lost by a touchdown and maybe a couple of points. The point that I'm making is this. We almost won, and It's hard to win games in the NFL. That's a fact.
Hugh Sirianni over here.
No, your
team was talentless besides you.
I forgot the schedule.
Bad quarterback play.
We went toe-to-toe with Miami. Miami was a much better team.
But you were bad, right?
But the point is this. Any given Sunday, Joe. Any given Sunday.
But this team was built to be above that.
It is. But even teams that are built to be above that, they still have games where they have clunkers.
Well, I get you. And if this happened once every 5 weeks, I'd accept it as part of the NFL. This is every single week. This is who they are.
And this may be where they turn the corner. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. And it might happen the way that you said it might happen. It might be a clunker. It might be a 20-17 game. But the bottom line is this. When you take away that, you're 4-2. If that happens, you'd be 4-2. You'd be right in the mix of things. And you got the Commodores coming up. You got Jacksonville coming up. You got the Commodores twice. If you mess around and beat the Commodores once, you're in pretty good space.
I'm more worried about winning this game Sunday.
I hear you. And listen, this is not me being Hugh Sirianni, Joe.
It really is.
This is me telling
Nick
you.
Nick Douglas. Unbelievable.
This is me telling you as a former player that there's a chance. It's still a chance that everything is still on the table. That's all I'm saying.
But that was we knew that before the season. They were supposed to be good.
This ain't where I want to be.
Well, it's not where I want to be.
This is not where I want to be, but right. I'm here.
Let's hear from
Jason. And I'm 3-2.
Well, you're not 3-2. The Eagles are. Jason Kelce. Maybe this is Hugh Sirianni. All right, Jason Kelce last night on the Monday night show, the pregame show. Here's what he said. Obviously, the biggest story of the NFL, one of them, is what's going on right now here in Philadelphia. Jason Kelce weighing in last night.
He's passionate. He loves his guys. He loves his team. And you're going to know that. And I think you saw it. Obviously, he knows that that was not the right way to handle that situation. You just saw it there. And everybody knows that that was inappropriate. But this is a guy that knows that his energy is going to feed the football team. And the team said that in their postseason, in their postgame interviews. Brandon Graham said, we need the Nick Sirianni back. That energy, even though it comes out in the wrong way sometimes, like it did at the end of that game, and I am a victim of that myself, trust me, I'm very happy there has not been a camera on me sometimes when either at the game or after the game.
Yeah.
And, if that is going to get the best out of him, is that emotional energy that he can then infuse into other people, I'm all for it. Not doing that at the end of games and talking to the fans, but taking it out on the field, doing it with your players, directing it in the right way, which it was for the majority of the game.
Here's the thing.
And I don't even talk to Jason either.
You're both missing the point.
No,
it's not getting the best out of them. They struggled to beat the Browns. That's the point everyone's missing.
No.
We're acting like they won the game 40-3. Then it's like, see, he should act like this because they struggled to beat the Browns.
You're missing the point.
I'm not.
You are.
What's the point?
The point is, you won the game and Jalen didn't have any turnovers. He didn't have any turnovers.
You telling me Jalen didn't have turnovers because the head coach acted like a donkey?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, come on.
But they won the game and the coach acted like a donkey. See, this is the problem that we're having this morning. Because I'm giving you rational reasons why that this team might be moving in the right direction. You can't get past the coach acting like a donkey.
Because here's what I think it is. We're trying to justify nonsense.
I'm not trying to justify.
Players are.
I'm trying to give you an insight to why they're okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm not. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, coming up at 11 o'clock, the Dave Dombrowski press conference. The Phillies have gotten off the hook here for the last couple days because we've been in Eagle Land and Sirianni world the last couple days. But it's obviously I can't wait to hear what they say. I can't wait to hear what the questions are and how Dombrowski and both Botopper and Dombrowski talk about the offseason to come here for the Phillies. That's coming up live on WIP at 11.
The Sirianni thing does remind me of his first year with the flower analogy. And how everyone crushed him for it. But what really mattered was how the players responded to it. And they came out and they started playing better and winning football games. And we don't have enough evidence of whether they're going to do that or not.
Look at, I'm winning Kyle.
Because it was at the end of the game.
He's starting to come around. You hearing?
No. Because I'm about to flip this on you. We know that the players might be okay with it. But you know what we heard all offseason? Jeffrey Lurie is not. We had Howard. Did he come on? No, he's on the morning show. And he said he basically said that Sirianni was told to tone it down, or he's going to tone it down. We know he's going to tone it down. So this is a matter of whether do we want what the players want, what they think is best for them, or we'll bring them back to 2022, which is completely ridiculous. Or should we pay more attention to what the owner thinks is becoming of a head coach?
The pushback on that is this. I was not here during the Super Bowl run of the Philadelphia Eagles. I wasn't. But I did hear stories. And one of the stories that I heard was initially, Doug Peterson didn't like the Meek Mill song being played in the locker room. He didn't like it at all because of all the cuss words and all this other stuff. Mm. But when they started winning...
Yeah, he was cool with it.
He was cool. It's the same thing. But it's the motivating factor.
But here's what's lost on me. And I think Kyle brings up an interesting point. The flower speech in 2021. Everyone laughed at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they responded. I just looked it up. So the Eagles went into their... through seven games, they were 2-5. That's when Sirianni gave the flower speech, okay? Mm-hmm. 2-5. And there were a lot of questions of, was this a one-and-done coach? I wondered it. I mean, was this going to be a disaster? Then they obviously made the playoffs. They rallied from there. Their next four games, they scored 138 points. They came out in their next game and beat the Lions 44-6. Is this the 44-6 weekend?
Yeah, hopefully. This story is still being written, Joe. And I choose to believe... And like I'm on my Cinderella right now.
I know you are.
I really am.
Here's what I'm going to say to all the players responding this way. Show me. Stop telling me how much this is awesome that your head coach.
Show me the baby. I'm tired of hearing about the labor pains. Like, show me the baby.
It falls on deaf ears. I appreciate all these guys, especially the ones that have been here. And I appreciate Kelsey for what he did and BG for what he's still doing. But as a group, they have to show me that this actually makes a difference in the positive direction. Because otherwise, it just looks like a distraction to everything.
Like Brandon Graham said it this morning, too. Like, he has to find the balance between doing it and showing off for his players and doing what his boss, essentially Jeffrey Lurie, is telling them that he wants to do.
And how about the customers?
Yeah.
Again, if he wants to do this in the locker room and they have this us against the world thing that Hugh mentioned yesterday, he says it to them privately. Well, then we're never going to know, and maybe it'll work. But once you start taking it out to the fans, it's just silly. Ken and Cinnamon. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ken.
So, first of all, Mike Cherry Hill, I'm sorry that he's disappointed that Jason Kelsey doesn't agree with him about Nick Sirianni. But, you know, Jason Kelsey has spent years in that locker room with Nick Sirianni, and Mike Cherry Hill hasn't. So, I'm gonna go with Jason Kelsey on this one. Because he consistently says the same thing about Nick Sirianni. Look, as it relates to the fans, let me just say this. You're talking about the paying customers. Once upon a time, I very nearly got thrown out of a Phillies game by a home plate umpire at Veterans Stadium when I was like 15 years old. You know, he called a pitch that I didn't agree with, and I yelled, "Ump beats his wife."
Oh.
And he heard me because I was like four rows from the field. And he heard me, and everybody heard me. And he looked at me, and he walked halfway down the first baseline. He pointed at me, and he said, "One more time, and you're out of here." Okay? The point is that being a fan is almost like social media, where there's this belief that you can say and act any way you want and say anything you want, and you have no expectation that there will ever be a repercussion. The way I was raised, if you're man enough to say it, then you should be man enough to accept it if somebody comes back at you. And being a fan doesn't insulate you from that. Now, would I recommend the head coach to get into it with fans on the sideline? Absolutely not. But you know what? This is part and parcel of who Nick Sirianni is. This is not a revelation to us. It's not like we're learning this for the first time. The players seem to universally love and respect the guy. So I don't care if you or me or the fans love and respect the guy. The guys that have to go out there and play for him every Sunday do. And, oh, by the way, he's 37-18 since he's become the head coach of the football team.
Oh.
Push comes to shove. I have a feeling that's the only thing that Jeffrey Lurie really cares about is the fact that he's 37-18 since he's become the head coach of the football team. And you can try and peddle this preposterous notion that he's got nothing to do with all 37 wins and he's completely responsible for all 18 losses. But the guys in the locker room know that's preposterous. And as long as they're good with him, I'm good with him.
Well, I think a lot of people probably feel that way. And maybe Lurie does, Ken. It's a good phone call, and we appreciate it. Maybe Lurie does. I don't think he loves this. And I think a shiny record could get you so far. Can I just point out one thing about the record? We do this with coaches early in their coaching career. And it's almost like it's almost like you assume or presume that it will continue. There have been many coaches I've seen in the NFL that have nice records through their first 50 or 60 games and then fall apart. Let me give you one that wasn't a big name, but a big enough name you'll probably remember. Remember Mike Smith?
Mike Smith. Yeah, it's Stirs and Combos. He used to be the defensive coordinator with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And then he went to Atlanta.
He went to Atlanta, yeah. Mike had a pretty decent run.
Oh, he did in the beginning. Mike Smith's first 5 years in the NFL, he was 56-24. He had a number one seed. He had a number two seed. He had some good players, right? Julio Jones was traded for in the draft there. He had Matt Ryan as his quarterback. Mike Smith was a fine coach. I didn't think he was a buffoon, but like I didn't think he was great either. You know what happened to Mike Smith's career? Mike Smith at one point, again, was 56-24, a 70% winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He then proceeded from there to lose 22 of his final 32 games. He never coached in the NFL again. So, like, it's a fleeting thing, success. If you don't continue it, it doesn't matter what you did. Yeah, Sirianni's had a good run. I would call it a good run with the Eagles. He's made the playoffs all 3 years. But Jim Fossil had a good run with the Giants. Mike Smith, I could name 15 coaches.
Bunch of coaches.
That start off.
That aren't built. Like, some guys are just not built for the grind of being a coach.
How about Mike Martz, who took over Dick Vermeil's Super Bowl winner, got to a Super Bowl himself. Sirianni got to a Super Bowl. And then within a couple of years, he never was a head coach again. This happens all the time.
The grind is real, man. And I will say this. Comparing Coach Sirianni to Coach Reed. Like, I'm not going to get into detail. Coach Reed had a lot of adversity in his coaching career. And he's worked through that, and he's become a Hall of Fame coach. Dude, this game will age you. When I saw Coach Sirianni on television yesterday, he looked older than he did last week. I don't know if Coach is long for this job. I don't know, to your point, if he's going to be a coach next year. But I think he's realizing right now how much of a grind this job is. This job is a grind.
Mike Martz, first 4 years, 67% winning percentage, a Super Bowl trip. Sirianni, 661, a Super Bowl trip. Mike Martz then had a losing record, never coached again. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's about what are you doing now and moving forward.
I was going to cut in with Sirianni's record, you know, over the past, or since the end of last year, where he's like, I think he's like 4-8 or something. So, but I do have to say, we did get a call from a listener named Brandon Graham, who said that everything that Ken just said is correct.
Well, they see it similar.
He just called me.
And listen,
BG called the show.
I appreciate BG listening. And again, I appreciate that he's on the station all the time, right? The Brandon Graham show, this morning with the morning show. I'm listening to my way in. And I respect his opinion. I just need the team to play better for the coach. If they play better, and I know they won, and you make a fair point, and Brandon listening is probably feeling the same thing, a win is a win. Yeah, they haven't scored a point in the first quarter of the entire season.
That's something you got to work on.
It was 10-10 against the Browns.
That's something you got to work on.
You got to work on it.
You got to work on it.
Here's what I need. Play and look like a great team. And then this, again, go back to 22, right? We all experienced 2022
there
with Sirianni. He was similar in terms of his personality, his kind of rah-rah stuff. And there weren't many phone calls, and I never spoke about it much, because they were winning. And they... There's a difference between winning and dominating, okay? They dominated in 22.
Yeah.
I thought they were the best team in the NFC the whole time. Does this look like that right now?
Not right now.
Okay.
But I will say this as a little pushback. I don't want to peak. I wouldn't want to peak because right now, perfect example, Detroit Lions look like world beaters.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to look like that at the end of the year? Perfect example. Another example.
Sometimes teams just are dominant.
What the Phillies look like at the beginning of the year?
This feels like a coping mechanism.
No, I'm just.
It feels coping.
No, Joe.
We're not good now, but maybe we'll be good later.
No, Joe. What I'm trying to do is coping. You don't want to listen to what I'm saying.
Why can't they be good now?
Because this is how you want to be. You want to win games, but you want to build to your ultimate form. It's almost like Dragon Ball Z. You ever seen Dragon Ball Z? It's when Goku turns into his ultimate Super Saiyan mode. You don't want to be Super Saiyan at the beginning of the fight.
22, they were Super Saiyan mode the whole year.
Not the beginning of the year.
Oh, they dominated.
They went Super Saiyan at the end. You want to be Super Saiyan at the end. You want to be Super Saiyan, what is it, 3 or 4? I don't know. I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z in a while, but. You know the point that I'm trying to make.
I'm going to remind you all this.
We got 12 games,
when
Joe.
It's 17-17, fourth quarter Sunday.
Joe, we got 12 games,
215-592-9494. Here's what we got coming up. We'll get to all your phone calls on Nick Sirianni. Look, the players are okay with it. Brandon, who was on last night, on this morning, just called Kyle and said, yes, agree with Ken and Cinnamon. It's clear, and I can't deny it, the players are on board with Sirianni being himself. or if they are you? I just need him to tone it down a little bit, compose himself. I mean, he did say on Sunday he didn't watch a 3rd and 8 because his hands were in his head. He was hiding. I do that on the couch. I'm just a guy. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up. And Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson's end of season press conference. We'll get back to the Sirianni calls.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.